The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If believers have works judged at the judgment seat of Christ publicly, then doesn't that include sin? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email. radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome to the show. Why do we call it a show? Why don't we call it a here? Welcome to the here.
Welcome to the here. I don't know.
Can that be a thing? Because we're not showing anything. Do you see where I'm going?
Not exactly, but okay.
The here and now. What about that?
Oh, because they're hearing us.
Because they're hearing us.
H-E-A-R.
They're
I thought you were H-E-R-E.
Yeah, we're not showing anything, but the here and now. But do you see how that's a play on words there?
I hear you.
You hear me. Okay, very good. All right, Bob, you ready to answer some Q&A?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. So you wrote a blog recently about, you know, how Christians can murder people.
No, I said, can Christians get away with murder?
Can we get away with murder?
And the answer was no. God judges in this life. And at the judgment seat of Christ, even though we're eternally secure, there are consequences. We're accountable.
Right. So, like, if you've believed in Jesus for eternal life, you have it at that moment. You can never lose it. But let's say you, 10 years from now, let's say you're in a rage and you kill somebody or something.
Right.
You're saying, first of all, that's possible for a born-again person to
sure.
do, just as David
right.
had Uriah murdered
right.
or killed in battle.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we get away with it. Even though we're eternally secure, there's still a consequence to our actions.
Right. And I think we had a person that asked about that, a follow-up.
Yes. This is a question from Alicia. If believers will have their works judged publicly at the Bema, that's the judgment seat of Christ, where believers appear to be rewarded or to lose their reward. If believers will have their works judged publicly at the Bema, good or bad, does that include the sins which we have confessed and for which we have asked forgiveness? Doesn't God forget our confessed sins? That's a good thing. I will remember your sins no more, God says. So how did you answer Alicia?
Well, I haven't actually written her back yet, but we can answer right here on the radio and on the podcast. And I would say that in that blog, I gave a link to an article, about a 20-page article, Will the Bad Works of Believers Be Considered at the Judgment Seat of Christ? And I give like 9 or 10 different lines of evidence to prove that's true.
All right.
And I discuss this idea of confessed sins in that article. So go to faithalone.org and look up that article, or just look at the blog. Go to faithalone.org and look at the, I believe it was May 3rd blog. You can click on the link and you'll see the article. But the real question comes down to this. If we confess a sin, does that eliminate the consequences? Let's take your example.
Yeah.
10 years from now, one of our listeners, in a fit of insanity, commits murder, and they're judged guilty, and they're sent to prison in their state, maybe for the rest of their lives. But they've confessed the sin.
Uh-huh.
Well, if God's forgotten it, and it's been confessed, then why in the world does the government do anything about it? Because the government is God's avenger, right? Romans 13.
Right.
My point would be, just as there are consequences in this life for our bad deeds, there are also consequences at the judgment seat of Christ for our bad deeds. However, Alicia's correct that our sins won't be brought up as sins, but they will be brought up as deeds. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may be recompensed for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. And in the article I talked about, there is a textual problem there. The majority of Greek manuscripts have a Greek word that definitely means bad. But there are a small minority of manuscripts that have another word, phallos, which some people think refers to worthless. And the problem with that, as I show in the article, is the expression good or bad using agathos and phallos occurs, I believe, 6 times in the New Testament. And every other time, it's always understood as good or bad, good or bad, good or bad, never good or worthless. That's true here as well. So see, our bad deeds will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but not as sins.
Now, see, that's interesting because the worthless reading would, I would think, support your view more.
How so?
Because then it's not even an issue of badness or sin. It's just like these are just worthless deeds.
But see, their view is all the bad deeds aren't considered. Only the worthless ones are considered. Good are considered and worthless are considered, but not bad. So worthless would be like you're watching TV.
Yeah, worthless could be kind of like just a leisure thing.
You're fishing.
But it would fit the idea that God forgets sin. He's not even considering that anymore. But yeah, you do have these worthless leisure time deeds.
And when you have a verse like their sins and their trespasses, I remember no more, he's talking about that within the context of fellowship with him.
Yeah.
As we confess our sins, we're in fellowship with him.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a positional sense in which he's already forgiven all our sins. But in a fellowship sense, we need to confess them, 1 John 1:9, and walk in the light, 1 John 1:7, in order to have fellowship forgiveness. But once we have that forgiveness, it still doesn't stop accountability. If our deeds are bad, we're going to be held accountable for that.
Yeah.
And so it's not as sin, it's as a deed.
Yeah. I bet a lot of people are, in fact, I know they stumble over that. I was just having a discussion with a guy the other day who thought that view was just crazy. He said there's no difference between a sin and a bad deed. It's the same thing.
Well, you know, I suppose you could argue that, but it seems to me that when God takes care of our sins in a positional sense, when we believe in Christ, we're positionally forgiven, that does not mean that there won't be consequences for our bad deeds, however you understand it, in this life. And pretty much everybody accepts that, right?
Right.
I mean, nobody thinks if you have an affair, there aren't going to be any consequences.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you strike your spouse, then nothing's going to happen. We know you probably are going to jail and you may, you know, get divorced and you may lose access to your kids and everything else. And so there are consequences in this life for our bad deeds. Well, if that's true, then there also can be consequences for our bad deeds in the life to come.
Yeah.
And it seems to me it's a misreading of Scripture because, you know, Paul does say whether good or bad in 2 Corinthians 5:10. And we do have verses like 1 John 2:28, my little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming. Well, how could there be shame if bad deeds weren't brought up?
Well, what if they're just worthless? You're like, man, I really just spent all my time watching reruns of Seinfeld. I didn't do anything for Jesus. What a waste of my life.
Right. Well,
you're not really sinning, but you have these worthless leisure works, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying to think out loud.
I'm still trying to get my mind around watching Seinfeld is not rewardable.
On a side note, Abby and I we have a couple rules about what we're not allowed watching.
Right.
And that has basically now
eliminated
everything. So we started watching this show called Friends. Have you ever heard of Friends?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw like one episode of that, too.
Well, see, I'm new to this, but obviously it was an enormous show. But I literally never saw any of the show. I just did not appeal to me. So we've watched a couple episodes, and it still does not appeal to me. They're just sleeping around. It's very immoral. It's an immoral show.
Right.
They're just sleeping around. They're not forming any permanent attachments. It's just fornicating and so we're not going to be watching that show anymore. But how does this relate? So you can just spend all your time watching Friends hours and hours and every day, you know, those kinds of shows. That would be worthless. And wouldn't you feel ashamed if Jesus was like, what were you doing?
Sure.
What were you doing, man?
Sure. But you see, those are bad deeds too, because if you do something that, let's say you're spending lots and lots and lots of time doing something that's worthless, therefore you're committing sins of omission.
Okay.
Because you're not loving your spouse.
Sure.
Right?
All right.
You're not loving your kids.
Sure.
You're not attending a fellowship with other believers.
Yeah.
You know, you're not praying. You're not reading the word. And so there are sins of omission that can occur when we waste our lives on lots of trivial pursuits.
Right.
Isn't that clever?
Trivial pursuit, yeah. So playing Trivial Pursuit might be a trivial pursuit.
Unless, of course, it could be edifying.
Unless it's edifying. How about this? Maybe this is how it works. Imagine if Zane, my son Zane, threw a rock through a window by accident. he hasn't done that, but is definitely within his potential. And let's say I had a broken window and a rock on the other side. Now, he comes to me and he's, I'm sorry, Dad, I did this. It was, I don't know what I was thinking. And
he's confessed it.
He confessed it. So I've forgiven him, but I still have the problem of this broken window with a rock in my room. And I'm like, okay, now we got to deal with it. You got to pick up the pieces here, and now we got to replace the window and stuff like that.
And you got to pay for it.
And I got to pay for it.
No, he's got to pay for it out of his allowance.
Oh, he's got to pay for it, sure. Maybe he has to pay for it. But then it's not really a sin because I've forgiven him, but this is still a bad deed that we need to take care of.
Here. Right. And I have an article also on forgiveness because I have, as you might expect, a unique spin on that too.
Okay, yeah.
And in my view, when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean you forget.
Right.
Let's say you own a business and somebody steals $5,000 from your business.
Yeah.
And so you fire them, but you choose not to send them to jail. You forgive them.
Yeah.
You just take the loss, but you fired them.
Right.
Well, you've forgiven them. Does that mean you need to hire them back?
No.
Does that mean you're going to put them in a position of authority? No. Does that mean if they were at your church that there might be some consequences at the church that they're not going to be allowed to work with the church finances, they're not going to be allowed maybe to teach in the church. There'll be some church discipline involved.
Sure.
And so the fact that we're forgiven doesn't mean there aren't consequences now or at the judgment seat of Christ. When we forgive, there's a restoration of fellowship. There's a restoration to where we're not a broken situation. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean we're best buddies.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't mean that there aren't any consequences.
All right. Well, Alicia, I hope somewhere in that discussion we maybe answered. I think we probably didn't answer your question, Alicia. But if we didn't, you know how to reach us, radio@faithalone.org. Be like Alicia. Sign up for our blog. It's Monday through Friday. I don't know if every single blog is going to bless you, but you're going to have at least one a week that's going to give you a little bit of insight into Scripture that'll just challenge you a little bit and probably encourage you in your Christian walk. So you can go to faithalone.org and sign up for that blog there. All right, see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about confessing your sins. So join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.